Okay, guys, Crane Christian Church Sunday School, time to get started. Psalms 107. And once again, well, we'll just read it. How's that? Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord do what?
Say so.
What did we say last week? Does it matter what you say?
Yes.
Okay. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy and gathered out of the lands from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a desolate way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city for habitation. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. Those who sat in the darkness and the shadows of death, bound in affliction and irons, because they rebelled against the words of God and despised the counsel of the Most High. Therefore, he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down. There was none to help. Then they cried out to the Lord. There's a theme here. Okay, we're going to get to it. They cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses, in spite of verse 10, 11, and 12. We always want to go, oh, see, if they hadn't have done that, if this hadn't done that, if that, this psalm really speaks to that this morning, guys. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and broke their chains in pieces. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men, for he has broken the gates of bronze and cut the bars of iron in two. Fools, because of their transgressions and because their iniquities, were afflicted. Their soul abhorred all manner of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. And then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. And what happened? He saved them out of their distresses. He sent his word. There we go again. That's why we're reading entire chapters. Okay. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. Those who go down to the sea in ships, who do business on great waters, they see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. He commands and raises the stormy wind, which lifts the waves out of the sea. They mount up to the heavens. They go down to the depths. Their soul melts because of trouble. They reel to and fro. Reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wit's end. Then they cry out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brings them out of their distress. He calms the storm so that its waves are still, and they are glad because they're quiet. So he guides them into their desired haven. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works, the children of men. Let them exalt him in the congregation of the people and praise him in the assembly of elders. He turns rivers into wilderness, and the water springs into dry ground. He turns rivers into a wilderness, and water springs into dry ground, and a fruitful land into barrenness for the wickedness of those who dwell in it. He turns a wilderness into pools of water, and dry land into water springs, for he makes the hungry dwell, that they may establish a city for habitation, and sow fields and plant vineyards, that they may yield a fruitful harvest. And he blesses them, and they do, and they multiply greatly. He does not let their cattle decrease. And when they are diminished and brought low through oppression, affliction, and sorrow, he pours contempt on princes and causes them to wander in the wilderness where there is no way. Yet he sets the poor on high, far from affliction, makes their families like a flock. The righteous see it and rejoice, and all iniquity stops its mouth. Whoever is wise will observe these things and will understand this entire verse, this entire chapter. Look at this last two sentences. And they will understand the loving kindness of the Lord. It says the same thing about four times here. It just gives you a different example of it each time. And the first thing I want to say this morning is this. I am fed up. I'm fed up with negativism. Either God is in charge and we are following him in his kingdom, and his kingdom is coming, his will is being done on earth as it is in heaven, or it's that guy's fault because this ain't happening. It's that girl's fault. It's that person's fault. You know, they say this and then they fly their jet all over the world. And this person do this and this person do this. You know what? My daddy had a saying for that. People don't work hard enough. If they was working as hard as we was working when we was growing up, that's what he would say. They wouldn't have time to worry about who's flying what to where and who's doing what to who and what, you know. But that has become the national pastime, is whining about the situation. That's our new national. We got a national sport now. Whining. I'm going to get a t-shirt made. No whining allowed. Or something. National sport. World champion whiner. Because I can whine too. And we'll give them those shirts to specific people. Okay. But this, I want you to look at this morning, not as a suggestion. Okay? Suggestions are good. But I want you to look at this not as a suggestion. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Why? Because he is good. And here's the deal. We don't understand everything that happens, do you? And I don't like everything that happens. To me, to you, I'm irritated right now about some things that's happened to some of y'all. Okay? I'm serious. But here's the thing. I'm still reeling from last Tuesday's graveside service. Last night when I was studying, I got my Bible and pulled out my friend's picture and her obituary. And I'm still suffering on a level, okay? I walk in here last week and there's still flowers left over from my last friend that I buried in. I mean, I don't like everything that's going on, okay? But I have a choice. I have a choice. It's a choice. I can be obedient to the Word of God. And this is what the Word of God is saying today. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. And I want to tell you, this second line here, it's still in the first verse. For his mercy endures forever. Do you know why people don't show each other mercy? I know why. I'm dead serious. I know why. Because I had to order two tires for my motorcycle. And it's hitting me hard, okay? It's getting it. I had to blow the dust off the wallet. But here's the deal. When I saw that, I thought, man. So if you can imagine me showing up to pay for that, and I pay for it, and then somebody comes along and says, hey, man, I really need X amount. There's just nothing else in there. Do you see what I'm saying? And I'm going to tell you why we don't give mercy, because we haven't received mercy. Because you know what? The Church of Jesus Christ, we deserve more because we're good and those people are bad because they do bad stuff. I spent an hour in reflection yesterday. And I want to tell you something. There's a lot of things that I don't do that other people do. There's a lot of things. Ain't I special? No. You know what I'm way more worried about? He's standing before the Lord and him saying, you know, yeah, you didn't do any of that, but guess what? My children were starving to death overseas and you were living in a palace. Do you see what I'm saying? Because nobody's looking at their own heart. Everybody's looking at what you do or what you don't do or what you did do or what you should have done or what you could have done or what you said and what you didn't say. And instead of that, when I read the Word of God, it's a reflection of who I am. And I see my shortcomings. I don't really see yours that much. I don't measure you by the Word. I measure me by the Word. I preach the Word, and it's up to you to use that. The washing of the water of the Word. His mercy endures forever. And so, second one, we spent an hour, well, not quite an hour, a long time last week talking about what you say matters, don't it? How'd y'all do this week? Did y'all talk nice? I say, some of y'all are going, okay. But here's the deal. Verse 2. We recognize it first, God's good, his mercy endures forever. But two says this, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Think about what it says in the Bible about the testimony, about them, about people testifying and telling and proclaiming Christ. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. And I want to tell you, I think of this picture probably weekly, is literally is the bottom line is this. I was drowning. And the fellowship came by, and Jesus reached his hand out of the fellowship and pulled me into the fellowship, and I didn't drown. So now I'm saved, okay? And he saved me by his grace, by his selection, by his love, okay? And I can either start checking all the uniforms of the other sailors. Well, your shoes are not shined just right. Your hair is a little bit long. You seem to hang out on the port side. Maybe you like a little bit of this. You know, I was listening to Billy Joe Shaver. Okay, we won't go there. I was listening to him yesterday, and that always causes a little reflection. So, I'm going to tell you, I'm redeemed. And redeemed means being bought with a price. I was in the red, okay? I owed, and now I'm in the black. Is that something to be happy about?
Amen.
Okay. So, he has redeemed me from the hand of the enemy. And this brings out a point that sometimes we just kind of gloss over. We have a very real enemy. I had a conversation yesterday with a friend. We were talking, and I reminded him that the bottom line is we have an enemy that's wanting to kill, steal, and destroy you because he hates your guts. Because when he sees you, he sees Christian. Think about that word. It means One of the things it means, it reflects, is little Christs. Okay? Now, you can get excited if you want to, but, you know, none of us are great, okay, in ourselves. But the truth is we reflect the salvation of the King. And when the enemy sees you, he says, that's an enemy. That's an enemy, okay? And I love the fact that I've got a new name. Did y'all know that? I've got a new name. It's written in glory. And There's another place in the Bible that talks about it being written on a stone. I've got a new name. What? Well, no, that's totally different. Totally different scripture. Okay. But the bottom line is this. He knows us for who we are. Okay. And gathered, he's redeemed us from the hand of the enemy and gathered out of the lands from the east and the west and from the north and the south. Now, when you look at this, reflect on just the picture he's painting here. Okay. So, being very generic, okay, I'm going to be very generic with this because I don't want to hurt nobody's feelings, okay, who might still be alive, okay? But here's the deal. I came from a place and a time where everybody who was a Christian, everybody who came to that church, everybody come, they all look exactly the same. Okay, they all thought exactly the same. And if they didn't, they kept it hid. Okay, because you'd be ostracized. We all kind of dressed the same. We all kind of, okay. But I want you to look at what it says here. It's reflecting something. He gathered from the lands, from the east, the west, from the north, and from the south. And I want to tell you, we have a tendency to do the same thing, whatever our little corner of the world looks like. Okay, so what God's called me to do, and I talked about this 20 years ago. I'm sure all of you still remember specifically. But 20 years ago, I was talking and I was crying from the pulpit, which I do occasionally. And I told him, I said, you know, God's called me to do a hard thing. He's called me to do a hard thing. This ain't what I wanted. But he's called me to put a jack against this wall and a jack against this wall. And in the middle, I'm doing this to open this church up so that it's a community. It's a place where the community comes and worships the King. Instead of it being a you bless me or I bless you club and you bless me club. And you see what I mean? And I'm not point any fingers at anybody in the past or the future. I mean, I've done it horribly. But the point is, this says north, south, east, and west. Those Yankees, those Southerners, those Westerners, those left coast, east coast, guess what? He wants them in his kingdom. And then as we concentrate on him, yeah, we do begin to kind of act the same. But that's spiritual. That's not me telling you what to do, okay? Or picking and choosing. God says he's redeemed us from all the lands. They wandered in wilderness in a desolate way. They found no city to dwell in, hungry and thirsty. Their soul fainteth in them. And when I saw this, when I read this, when I think about this today, guys, when I thought about it, well, I guess that was last night. But the point is this, guys. We have a world that describes our world right now. That describes our world right now. If you just think about it. They're hungry. And I'm not talking about physical food. There are some places that people are physically hungry. Okay. But this world, just got to get one more light. Just got to get one more thing. Just got to get... Phil Westmoreland, I see you on there, boy. Lauren Pope, I see you. Okay, sorry. All right, I actually have my glasses on. I can see who's watching. Usually, see, now right now, I don't have any idea. Anyway, so, but here's the deal, guys. This world is hungry and thirsty. They are hungry for affirmation. They're hungry to belong. They're hungry for a purpose. They're hungry. And we try to fill it with everything in the world, the highest handlebars, the loudest pipes, the biggest house, the nicest boat, the biggest whatever, you know, the most of this or the most of that, the perfect whatever, okay? And they're thirsty. And I want to tell you something. I will never, ever forget. The woman at the well hits me hard every time. I was going through it in my head again last night. I don't have to look it up anymore, okay? Because I want to tell you, he's looked at her before revealing himself as the Messiah to anybody else. He looks at a woman who could do nothing for him, who had been in relationships and out of relationships and was living with a man then and all this stuff and was a Samaritan, you know, all this stuff. Nothing. She didn't bring anything to the table in the flesh. And he looks at her and says, if you knew who I was, you'd ask me for a drink. And this world is thirsty, but they don't know who he is.
Amen.
They think that it's religion. They think that it's because this, I'm going to tell you, I talk a lot. Shocking revelation. I talked to a lot of people. I was with a person yesterday, a human being, and they literally said these words. They said, I don't see how you get nothing done. Because I was going person to person at Brahms, you know, talking. And you don't have to know them. You know, because, you know, there's just one of me. So anyway, but the point being is this. He said, I don't see how you get anything done. I said, I don't care. I said, you know what? I try to follow the Holy Spirit. And if that person needs to be talked to, I mean, I'm praying with rednecks and white socks and blue ribbon beer. Oh, no blue ribbon beer. Okay. That's a different song. Okay. So anyway, the bottom line is, they are wandering. They are desolate. They are thirsty. They're hungry. Their soul is fainting in them, and they're trying everything in the world, but they don't know there's a Jesus. And they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. But here's the deal. Let's say that there's one place in Crane that I could get some gas right now. Okay? Gasoline. Not stomach gas. Okay? I can get that about anywhere. But the point being is there's one place that's got gas right now in Crane, gasoline. But I don't know where it's at. I need somebody to direct me to where that's at if I need fill. Does that make sense?
Yep.
And I'm going to tell you something. We don't point people toward the answer. We point people toward our pet peeves. We point people, well, if you get this straightened out in your life, if you get this straightened out in your life, we need to point people to him, to the Messiah, the Savior, Jesus Christ. Because I want to tell you, when they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, here's verse 6. And he delivered them from their distresses. Does life become perfect after you're delivered by Jesus? No. It's life. You know, some days are diamonds and some are something else. That's a different song. Okay. But they cried out to the Lord, and he delivered them, and he led them forth by the right way that they might go to a city for habitation. That men, and when you, this habitation, I want to camp there for a minute. Let's go to Acts in our heads. Okay, save a little time. So Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has died for our sins. He's rose from the dead. He hung around 40 days. Over 500 people saw him during that time. Then he ascends into heaven. Then they go and hang out at the upper room. The Holy Ghost comes. There's a big explosion of the church. Okay? Is that what happened? So if you don't know that, read it. Okay? So here's the deal. What they did at that time, the New Testament church was just a division off of the Jewish church. Does that make sense? So they couldn't go to the synagogue and be talking about, yeah, well, you know, Jesus, and the rabbis say, no, get out of here. That's right. You with me? So what they did is they did, watch this, life together. They met together, broke bread, which most people look at that and say they had communion, remembering the truth that what Jesus had died for them, and they give them some direction. Says, hey, some of y'all bring some psalms. Some of you bring a hymn. If anybody's troubled, you know, ask for prayer. If I, you know, give some directions there in the New Testament about how to do that. And for the first 1,500 years of the church, that's kind of the way it worked. And it's not that they didn't, at some point, you know, go outside and have a get together or whatever. But see, we think that this old Sunday morning, I love church. I come every week, by the way, every week. Okay. If Lord willing, I'll keep doing that too. But here's the deal. But we think this is church. No. Your church. Your church. Your church. Your church. Your church. And when you walk out those doors, you're the church. And here's the deal, guys, as we look at this, that they might go to a city for habitation. And are we opening our doors to people who fit this category, who are hungry, who are thirsty, who don't, you know, can't say the books of the Bible, you know, didn't get a star on their chart in VBS. You know, they've never drank that cheap Kool-Aid and eat those nasty cookies. Anyway, so, oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works, the children of men. For he satisfies, okay, verse 9. If you got your Bibles out, look at that. For he satisfies the longing soul. I'm going to be very generic again, okay? I spend an enormous amount of time in the marketplace, is what I like to call it, okay? And in the marketplace, right now, and I'm not exaggerating, I'm not trying to stir something up, there is an unbelievable amount of self-loathing, people calling and saying, I'm going to blow my brains out, people blowing their brains out, people using drugs to the point that they don't even have any idea what they're doing, and then doing crazy stuff, hurting other people. I mean, guys, and there's a longing in every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl. And that longing, that space, I like to think of it like a key, okay? Because I got some keys at the house I have no idea what go to. No, I'm dead serious. I got keys from the 90s. Okay. Scared, throw them away though. You never know. You might need it. Okay. But it's just like some of them books David's got. So, but here's the deal. Watch this. There's a lock on that door. I promise you, there's a lock on that door. But I could go down there and pick a random key at my house. Now, is it a key?
Yes.
If you took a picture of that and I sent it to everybody in the congregation by text and said, what is this? Everybody goes, oh, that's a key. That looks like a key. I said, that's a key. I don't know what's a key to, but that's a key, right? Is that what y'all would say?
Yes.
Is it a key?
Yes.
Okay. But it ain't the key.
Amen.
It won't get you in that door.
Because
I've tried it. All them random keys that I've got, I thought, well, maybe them's church keys. Amen. Amen. James needs one. Okay. But anyway, but the point is this, guys. There's only one key that fits that in your heart that opens up peace, joy. It's only one key, and his name is Jesus. It's not the Christian church. It's not the Baptist church. It's not the Assembly of God church. It's not me getting a bigger car or higher handlebars or louder pipes or cooler beer than David's got, which I'm going to work on someday. But whatever, guys, or Lauren, you know, Lauren's got the coolest. But anyway, the point being is this. That won't fix it, will it? What fixes it? The key. And he has the key to death, hell, and the grave. But I want to tell you, he is the key to the lock of your heart that will give you satisfaction. I don't care what you're looking for. If you're looking for the world to say, look, ain't he cool? You know, I spend a lot of time on that. Ain't he cool? Ain't he cool? As he walks toward the pool. Okay, whatever. I'm making it up a second. All right. For he satisfies the longing soul. If you have a longing soul, if you're watching this morning, if you're here this morning, if you have a longing soul, seek him. Does that make sense? Seek him. Don't even seek about him. Yeah, I study Jesus. I study. Our next service is we're still in the Gospels. And we'll be there for a while unless something happens, okay? But here's the deal. He satisfies the longing soul, fills the hungry soul with goodness. Those who sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, bound in affliction and irons because they rebelled against the words of God. See how it is saying the same thing again. Just different scenarios. What David is doing in this psalm is it's called thanksgiving the Lord for his great works of deliverance. If you're just delivered because some of us just were on the wrong path. But these people he's describing now are bound in the world. There's people in this world that are bound. They're bound. And I want to tell you, Jesus is the answer. I'm going to quit. We'll pick that up next week. Let me look at that with my glasses on so I know where I'm at. Okay, verse 10, we'll start there next week. And I want to tell you, this is wearing me out in a good way, not in a bad way. I've had spankings that I felt like was a bad thing, okay? But this spanking is a good one. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these other things will be added unto you. So, Father, I thank you for the people that are watching. I thank you for the people that are here. Lord, you're good to us. You are so good. And, Lord, as you show us in Psalms 107 over and over, that you are our Redeemer, Lord. So I pray first, Lord, first I thank you for my redemption. I thank you for the people that are in here this morning that have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. But Lord, I pray that the message of Jesus and him crucified, raising from the dead at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us right now, Lord, would be the message of your church. And not the shoulda, coulda, woulda that we're doing right now, but instead, Lord, that we would love one another, and by our love for one another, the world will know that Jesus Christ came from the Father, and that was his prayer. So, Lord, I agree with your prayer this morning, Lord. Help us to be the men and women you've called us to be. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. God bless you and keep you. Let his light shine on you and give you peace.